so hype right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama, baby, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my Seas jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the Seas, that's the best way. Melly.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine, whatever it is that you're doing right now, listening to the show, watching it on YouTube. I just want to thank you for including me, John Corrales, host of this show. I cover the Boston Celtics for Locked On, for Locked On too, but for Boston Sports Journal, and I've written a book called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, which is now available wherever books are sold. I'm coming to you hours after free agency has begun. The Boston Celtics have done nothing, and that shouldn't be a surprise. They don't have a lot of money to spend, and I don't think they're looking to spend it. This is kind of a disappointing, maybe you're watching this and saying, why the hell didn't the Celtics spend any money? What's going on here? What's the plan? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what other teams have done, the Miami Heat especially, to kind of change the shape of the Eastern Conference. I'll talk about what I think the plan is, but let's just start with this. RockAuto.com. Thank you for sponsoring this podcast. It's an amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. Head on over to RockAuto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Evan Fournier is gone. He's going to the New York Knicks. It's a four-year, nearly $80 million deal, so he's getting that nearly $20 million that he was looking for in free agency per year. Now, if you've been listening to the show, obviously I've been saying the Knicks swooping in with a $20 million deal would be something that the Celtics probably couldn't compete with. However, I did not expect that it was going to be a four-year deal, really a three-year deal with a team option for the fourth year, but I didn't expect him to come in with a multi-year deal with an average annual value of about $20 million. So when Keith Smith came on the show a month plus ago, when he brought up the Knicks and I said, yeah, that makes perfect sense. And that's something that I've been harping on since then. To see the Knicks come in and say, oh, $20 million a year for 4 years, it was like, whoa, that's a lot. So I'm a little bit surprised at what the Knicks actually offered him, but they saw something, they like something with him, and so that's going to be the end of his time here in Boston. So the Celtics are kind of out of luck here, and you wonder now if some of the things that are coming out here. So as I'm talking, I see this Otto Porter turned down mid-level exception money to go play for the Golden State Warriors for the minimum. And were the Celtics chasing after Otto Porter Jr.? There are guys that, okay, Spencer Dinwiddie, he's going to sign a deal with the Washington Wizards. There are players here in free agency that the Celtics could have signed, may have pursued. But I think another thing that the Celtics are seeing here is there's money being thrown around like crazy right now. And also, some of these guys just want opportunities. Some of these guys want opportunities for rings. The Otto Porter thing is a little interesting. That I don't know who was involved with that kind of offer, but you can only offer guys so much money before they decide, you know, maybe I want to go somewhere else with a different situation. And that appears to be part of what Evan Fournier is doing here. So Evan Fournier is taking both the money and the situation. The Celtics didn't have an opportunity here to sign and trade Evan Fournier because the Knicks didn't need to do a sign and trade. And they're not going to help the Celtics out and give them a nearly $20 million, whatever the first year salary is, 17, 18. They're not going to give him, the Celtics an opportunity to get a sign and trade. So this isn't like – there are people who are saying the Celtics should have gotten something for Evan Fournier. I can't believe the Celtics didn't get something for Evan Fournier. This is just like Horford. This is just like Kyrie. This is just like Hayward. And it's not at all. This is not at all. They got him at the trade deadline last year. They didn't have – the thing that's different about this than the Hayward situation or Kyrie or Al Horford is that there was no opportunity to see coming a potential for him leaving and then to account for that. You know, Horford they could have traded. Hayward they could have traded. Kyrie they could have traded if they wanted to. If they wanted to avoid that situation of getting nothing for somebody. This was always going to be the risk for when you trade for a guy that was on an expiring contract. And now the Celtics find themselves in the situation that when you look at the Gordon Hayward deal, in the end, really what they have now is Josh Richardson. So Hayward's gone. All of those picks are gone. They lost Daniel Tice in the midst of trading for Evan Fournier. And what they have left is Josh Richardson, who may be pretty good if he can recapture some of his Miami glory, but I don't know how good he's going to be to make up for that loss. And I think it's not going to fall on Brad Stevens because he's trying to clean up this stuff. But the longer this goes, the more we see the next domino to fall, the worse it looks for Danny Ainge, the worse it looks for that whole situation. The Gordon Hayward, I mean, basically everything related to Gordon Hayward has been a disaster for Boston. The injury was a disaster. That Gordon Hayward injury changed the entire course of everything. Not only did he get hurt, but he had such a devastating injury. And then he had that second surgery that cut off his rehab and all of a sudden turned that summer into a whole second rehab. And that ruined the year that he came back. And that spoiled Terry Rozier, and Terry Rozier was part of a problem, and now he's gone, and he's playing well somewhere else. Kyrie left, and this whole trickle-down effect, for all of the good things that Gordon Hayward can be on the floor, that Gordon Hayward injury, that whole situation has been just an unmitigated disaster for the Celtics. They got him thinking he was going to be a superstar, And part of their key to the next title run, he got hurt, and then everything fell apart. Kyrie left, Al Horford left because of that whole thing. The departure of Gordon Hayward, the turnaround because of the pandemic, the short turnaround there, really hurt Danny Ainge's ability to really truly bargain in a sign and trade. That whole Indiana negotiation, I'm still happy that they didn't bring in Miles Turner. I don't think that Miles Turner is the answer. And looking at what Doug McDermott got pretty good money. I don't think the Celtics are going to bring him back at $15 million a year. So he would have gone, he would have walked. So they turned around and they get Evan Fournier, who was on an expiring contract. There was always the risk of him walking for nothing there. And he turns around and does actually walk for nothing for Boston. The thing that hurts the most here that he walks and the Celtics don't even get a traded player exception out of this is that they had to give up Daniel Tice, who was a productive player. They could have re-signed Daniel Tice. They could have held on to him or used him in a sign and trade situation like the Bulls did. Daniel Tice goes to Houston, gets about $9 million a year. The Celtics could have used at least a trade a player exception there and try to work their way around and find a replacement that way using the TPE. But now Fournier is gone. And look, for 4 years and $78 million, even with that third, that fourth year as a team option, that was never going to be in Boston's price range. That is just not going to be, that was never going to be anything Boston was going to be competitive with. $15 million, sure. Something in that range, that 4 years, I was saying 4 years, what was I? Something in that, not 4 years, 3 years, 50, something like that would have worked. But even that seems like it might have been too expensive. Like the Celtics have a very specific idea of how they want this thing to go. And the idea is that they're not going to overspend for anything. They have their budget. They're going to stick to that budget. Brad Stevens, if nothing else, is a good soldier. And this is my directive. What are my parameters? And this is, if I was in that job, I'd ask that same question. What are my parameters? What do I have to deal with? Where do I have to go? What's my limit? I can't spend more than this. Okay, I'm going to work within those parameters. He's going to do what he has to do within those parameters. Maybe he'll fight for some more here or there if something comes up. But Evan Fournier was not going to fit into the plans. Not at those years, not at 4 years, not at that money. And now the Celtics are moving forward. I think I see what's going on here, but not everybody's happy about that. I'm going to talk about what that plan is, that flexibility and all of that coming up after I tell you about rockauto.com. They have sponsored this episode. And we know that with Rock Auto, it doesn't matter what car you drive, you're going to find what you need at rockauto.com. Because unlike the chain stores, Rock Auto can stock everything for every car and not have to worry about shelf space at that little strip mall. You can just sit at home, the comfort of your own home. Don't waste your time. Don't waste that trip. Don't waste the hassle. Go to rockauto.com at home on your laptop or your mobile device. Check out whatever you have. Complicated stuff, real deep engine stuff, that's fine. You can find it at rockauto.com. If you're like me, windshield wipers, new floor mats, you can find that at rockauto.com. Very easy. Now, when you go to Rock Auto, make sure that you write, how did you hear about us box? Make sure that you write locked on, okay? That's how they know that we sent you. There's a how did you hear about us box when you check out. If you don't write locked on in there, they don't know that it was us. And hey, we would really appreciate it if you let them know that we're the ones that sent you there. RockAuto.com, family business, been serving people online for more than 20 years. It's an amazing selection. The prices are reliably low. They're all the parts your car will ever need at RockAuto.com.
Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify.
So you're probably wondering, what the hell are the Celtics doing? They let Fournier go. They're not signing anybody. There's no indication that they're doing anything right now. Free agency has started. All the big names. There are a ton of moves that happened on Monday. A ton. And sure, most of them had to do with tampering. And maybe, I don't know, whatever the Celtics were doing, they weren't doing any of that stuff or not enough of it. I don't know. They are standing kind of pat right now. They have a mid-level exception, which they could use. And after the Tristan Thompson trade goes through, they'll be underneath the luxury tax line. So any luxury tax, any contract that they spend money on afterwards can – I think they can stay below or at the tax line. They can find a way to make moves later on to free up some cap space. So it's very obvious that the Celtics are keeping their finances in a certain level. That's very obviously something that is an ownership directive, and they are gearing up towards next season, 2022, 2023. I don't know if they're trying to make the move for Bradley Beal or another star. Maybe they see that the Washington plan is something that's kind of tenuous. Although Spencer Dinwiddie going to sign with the Wizards, we'll see how he is after the knee injury. But the Wizards have been making moves trying to appease Bradley Beal. Maybe the Celtics sit there and say, hey, we're going to keep our finances to a point here where we're not going to spend money on the luxury tax this year, too. We're going to hold off. We're going to spend next year. We're going to start next season. We're going to do the best we can with what we have this year. And they do have some productive players. They do have some guys on the roster that I think can be good. You got Tatum and Brown, obviously. You got Marcus Smart. I don't know what's going to happen with the Smart extension. If he stays or goes, that I don't know. But if Richardson can step up, if Chris Dunn can be what we think he can be off the bench, if he's healthy, if Nesmith and Langford kind of make strides and step forward, if Al Horford is healthy enough to play most games, if Robert Williams is healthy and takes a step forward and can play 30 minutes a game for the Celtics, hey, you know what? It can be a fun team. It can be a team that has a chance. I don't know if we would call them a chance to get past maybe the second round of the playoffs. But for the first year of the Ime Udoka era, maybe that's the best that we can hope for. It keeps Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum happy enough that the next move makes them really happy. But the plan right now is very obviously to save money and not go and make a big splash. The only big splash they're going to make is if they can find a way to make that big trade for their next superstar. They're trying to maintain flexibility for that. It's an interesting dichotomy. You know, you put that against what other teams are doing. You know, there's this discussion here between flexibility, but you can't put a jersey on cap flexibility. You can't put how many points per game is cap flexibility going to get you, right? And I get that. You're watching sports for fun, and you're watching sports to see this team compete for a championship, and you got Tatum and Brown. And Tatum's going to the first year of his contract extension. And Jaylen Brown is going to the second year of a four-year deal, which means it's only a couple of years left there after that. And then there's going to be another decision to make for both parties. So the Celtics are trying to navigate this space here between let's do stuff while these guys are good, but also we can't just throw bad contracts out there. And to their credit, like this is something that we have to understand. Like just because they're not making signings, it also doesn't mean that they should be making some of these signings. Okay, you could have thrown some money at Otto Porter Jr. and maybe that could have worked out. You could have thrown the money at Evan Fournier and maybe that could have worked out. There are two very distinct sides here. And each side, I think, bears equal criticism. There's an equal amount of criticism on either side. I think questioning team ownership right now is completely legitimate. Completely legitimate. I think that there should be a conversation right now about how this team is run, how the ownership is dictating the finances. I think there's a discussion to be had there. And I don't know where that settles, but I think right now the Celtics are operating not like a big market team, not like a small market team, but like a mid-market team. And I think we need to start looking at this the Celtics kind of more like a mid-market team. The way the finances work, as I've explained before, the team doesn't own the building and so many other factors. The team just doesn't spend the money unless it knows it's going to be a contender. Now, there are other teams out there that spend money and they have a reputation for spending money, but also before they became contenders, they kind of operated like the Celtics. So there's another side to this. There is another side to this. And the Celtics aren't just going to go throw money at players just to say, here's, we got to do something, because that attitude of we got to do something is what gets teams in trouble when it comes to the free agency and in the frenzy and the, you know, you add another deal, you add another year, you add another few million dollars. And then at some point the contracts start to pile up and you're like, how the hell did Timothy Mozgov get this kind of money? You can't just throw money around either. And you got to look at some of these deals that we're signing. Like, whew, that's a lot of money for these guys. There's some of these guys that's just making, they're making a little too much. And I can understand not wanting to do that. The Celtics must also be operating under the idea that next summer they have a real strong chance at something, somewhere, somehow, because they're really standing with their flexibility here. But I'm if you want to question ownership, if you want to question how they spend their money, go for it. I also understand, I think, that ownership is operating a certain way, and this is not the worst thing in the world. Like, I can see the argument from their side as well. I think wherever you fall, there are legitimate concerns, gripes, explanations. But the bottom line here is, after a day like this, after watching teams get better around the Celtics, and you say, well, what are the Celtics doing? I think there's the bottom line of fans want to see that the team is doing something. What's the team doing? Let us know. What are you hoping for? So we'll hear more from the team at some point soon, and we'll get a sense of their plan. Meanwhile, the Miami Heat have maybe leapfrogged the Celtics, and who knows? I mean, at the very least, they've joined the Celtics, and they may have passed them. This is going to be a very interesting summer, or I should say an interesting season, because what happened this summer is going to vault some teams potentially past Boston. I'm going to talk about the Miami Heat and what they did when I come back after I talk about Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action, no matter what. The Olympics are going on. It's the elimination round. I'm doing this show before the Team USA-Spain game, which, if anything big happens, I'll just talk about that in tomorrow's podcast. You can bet some money on that. Whatever it is, use your laptop, use your mobile device. Head on over to Bet Online. Create your username, create your password, create your profile. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get a 50% welcome bonus. That means whatever your first deposit is, whatever you want to donate, you want to drop in $200, then your welcome bonus is $100. With that promo code locked on, a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So head on over to BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Please gamble responsibly. Now, BetOnline is the sponsor of the new Locked On Bets podcast. If you've got questions, if you need help on some of these things, maybe you're not sure about where to lay your money, head on over to Locked On Bets. It's hosted by your boy Q, Lee Sterling, the handicapping experts, daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. So when you sign up for Bet Online, then you can listen to the Locked On Bets podcast and maybe get a little leg up. Not only using that promo code Locked On to get you that welcome bonus, you listen to Locked On Bets to get you a little extra juice. Maybe you can make a little extra money if the blowout specials and the lock of the day come through. So check out Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts.
Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
The Celtics, by standing pat, now watched other teams in the East get better, most notably the Miami Heat. It's going to be real interesting to see what the Miami Heat are. They're getting Kyle Lowry in exchange for Goran Dragic, Precious Achiuwa, another pick. But nobody, like, okay, losing Goran Dragic is going to be a problem for Miami because he was, you know, important. But you're getting Kyle Lowry to replace him. That's an upgrade. Even at Lowry's age, still an upgrade. Brings in toughness. He fits that Miami team. Not only did they bring in Kyle Lowry, they're bringing in PJ Tucker. They bring back Duncan Robinson. They're maxing out Jimmy Butler. They're all in with this move. I think the addition of Lowry and the addition of PJ Tucker just gives them that little extra toughness and obviously skill that Miami now, where are they going to fall? Depending on how this summer goes, where are they going to fall in the hierarchy of the East? Milwaukee is, I mean, losing PJ Tucker is going to be interesting. Hey, shout out to Milwaukee, though, for signing Semi Ojeleye. Good luck to Semi Ojeleye. Now, I tweeted out, like, I hope he finds a good role. And people tweeting back at me, he sucks. Well, like, you know what? Get over yourself, will you? The guy's gone. You don't have to, like, spit in his face on his way out. He's a hard worker. He's a good dude. You know, he's trying his best out there. He's trying to make the most of an opportunity. And it didn't work exactly the way he wanted it to. But, you know, to be so angry, like, people are angry at Semi Ojeleye. For what? So he's going to Milwaukee. Great. Good for him. I hope he fills that PJ Tucker role. And maybe we'll see that if he had a little bit different opportunity in Boston, maybe it would have gone differently. But Miami is getting better. Milwaukee is the defending champions. Brooklyn is obviously going to be really good. And you have the Philadelphia 76ers. It's four teams that are potentially ahead of the Celtics. The Celtics not doing a whole lot to get better this year. I think this is where people start to get a little really upset. Like, okay, Miami's going for it. Miami is going for it. And you look around and say, well, Miami's throwing money around. They're getting good players. What are the Celtics doing? How are they lining up here for this arms race? Are the Celtics really, truly content saying, like, you know what? This is not our year. And the problem with that is Jaylen Brown looks around and says, okay, well, what are we doing? Jason Tatum looks around and says, okay, well, what are we doing? Are we supposed to play hard? Are we supposed to bust our asses? Marcus Smart. Are we really supposed to bust our asses for a franchise that says, guys, we know that you're used to getting to the conference finals, and this past season was disappointing. We're kind of not going for that this year. It's gonna put Ime Udoka in a tough position. And maybe he uses that as motivation. That would be interesting, but I don't know how much that impacts what he's trying to do. What's Ime Udoka, you know, when he talks to these guys and they say, hey, what are we doing here? We let Fournier go for nothing. We didn't sign anybody else. Sure, Josh Richardson, welcome aboard. Chris Dunn, welcome aboard. We're happy to have you in the trenches with us. We know that this is how it goes with the business and everything. Guys come and go. But what are we doing to get better? If Miami all of a sudden is putting themselves in a position to jump into the top four, and the Celtics haven't done anything to improve, yeah, maybe some natural internal improvement, that'll be great. Tatum and Brown could get better. Langford, Nesmith could get better. The Celtics could become better just naturally. They'll just naturally be a good team. And they still should be a good team, but what are they competing for? Fifth? They're fighting for 4-5 and home court, maybe. So I look at Miami get better. I look at guys like JaMychal Green, who that dream is gone. Jamichael Green going back to Denver for on a 2-year, $17 million deal. Second year is a player option. So he opted out of what, $7 million to go back and go for $8 million. It's not the biggest raise in the world, but he's got a chance to opt out and do this again next summer. I see the Celtics trying to go long term here. I'm not saying that's the wrong plan. Of course, you don't want to throw money at just anybody, but I'm also looking at Miami get better. And what's that mean? What's that mean for Boston? Where are they going to be? If this approach comes back to haunt the Celtics, then we're going to have some real issues in Boston with an ownership group that has been fantastic throughout the years. I'm just curious what they're going to allow. What's this season going to become? I'm really curious. It's kind of disappointing to see them do nothing, although I did expect that. I didn't expect them to do a whole lot. You just kind of wanted to see a little bit more from this team. Something with all of these deals coming through, not even a complimentary guy, not even a $3 million guy, not even a $4 million guy, somebody that can help off the bench. Are they not doing that? Plenty of time in free agency, plenty of time. This is just day one, and there were so many deals that happened. To see the Celtics kind of not involved was just interesting. We'll see what happens next. I'll be here to cover it for you. I'm here for you now 5 days a week after taking that last Friday off. Thank you again to everybody who watched the draft show, which was 6 hours of live TV, which is why I didn't come back out for that and do another 30-minute podcast. But I'm back here 5 days a week for you, be analyzing this, bringing in guests to analyze this for you, try to get you the right direction, get you in the right direction, the right frame of mind to see what the Celtics are doing. So please subscribe to the podcast. If you're new to the YouTube page, go ahead and subscribe to that. We're almost at 2,000, so trying to hit those benchmarks there, the new milestones. So subscribe if you haven't subscribed to that yet. And, of course, share the podcast. Share it. Tell your friends that they should be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.